Many of you have probably seen or at least heard about, I don't know, I think I've seen one of them, but these shows that they show on television sometimes about things they make over. I think they have a show where they make over a person. I think they have a show where they make over a house. You know, they go in and to an existing house and they make it over. I think there's a show about hoarders. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it, where they'll go in and help hoarders. They'll make over hoarders, help them get rid of all their stuff. And so in each one of these programs, and you know, they take something that's old and they fix it up. They repair it. They make it over. I'm glad tonight that God is not in the makeover business. I'm glad tonight that God is not in the fix-it-up business. I'm glad tonight that God is in the making new business. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, Jesus said, "I make all things new." I was thinking about it, about an illustration to start with, and I think marriage is a good illustration. You know, the first marriage happened in the Garden of Eden when God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And so he made Adam a helpmeet, made Eve, brought her unto Adam, and married them there in the Garden of Eden, joined them together as husband and wife, and made something new. I'm glad he just didn't fix up a single man. I'm glad he didn't make over his single man. I'm glad he made something new and made something, I say this at several, I don't say it at every one of my weddings, but a lot of my weddings, I think after salvation, that marriage is the greatest gift that God gave to mankind. And if you men were smart, all of you would say amen right now. Oh, that was weak. You're going to hear about it when you get home tonight. But you know, marriage is a type, is a picture of our salvation. We as the church are the bride of Christ. The husband is God. And again, Christianity is not fixing up the old man. Christianity is replacing the old man with the new man. It's the process of losing the old man and letting that old man die so that the new man can emerge and be what God wants us to be. Now, as I start, I have some good news and bad news for you tonight. The good news is I have a very short sermon. When I get to my sermon, it won't take me more than 5 minutes because I only have one point, a simple truth that every Christian needs to understand about the new man and the old man. The bad news is I have a lengthy introduction before I get to my sermon. But just bear with me and I'll let you know when I get through my introduction and get to my sermon. But again, God is not in the makeover, fix-up business. He is in the making new business. For example, he is not making over the earth. The earth is rotting and decaying. We are taking out all its natural resources. We are polluting the air, the water, and the land. And in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up." God's not going to make over this earth. He's not going to fix up this earth. One day it is going to burn up. God is in the making new business. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth. And one of these days, God's going to make that new earth. In fact, John saw it when God let him look into the future and see what's going to happen in the future. He said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And so again, God is not in the fixing up business. He's not in the making over business. He's in the making new business. For example, God's not in the business of fixing up our bodies. I was talking to Betty as I was visiting with her, and she was talking to me about all her aches and pains that she has. And I told her what I was going to preach tonight. I said, Betty, God's not going to fix up our bodies. Our bodies are decaying. They started decaying and falling apart the moment we were born. And the older we get, the more signs that we see of that decay. We have vital organs that quit working. We have arteries and veins that clog up. We have brain cells that die. And we forget whether we're coming or whether we're going. We sag and sway and totter the older we get. Hair grows where we don't want it to grow, and it falls out where we want it. We lose our sight. We lose our hearing. Oh, and I got to tell you something. When we're taking care of my dad, he sleeps in a room where they have a hospital set up. And they have a guest room that whenever us boys are there taking care of him, we sleep across the hall from him. And so my middle brother and I, we have pretty good hearing. Our wives might not agree with that, but I think we have pretty good hearing. And so in the middle of the night when Dad needs something, he calls and we jump up and, take care of what he needs. But my younger brother who lives in Baltimore, who was there with him a couple of weeks ago, is deaf in one ear and has a hard time hearing out of the other. And so he couldn't hear in the middle of the night when my dad called him. And so they got a little bell for my dad to ring, and whenever he wanted something, he'd ring that bell. Well, David couldn't hear the bell either. And so Tim and I, the older brothers, the wiser ones in the family, what we devised was had him tie a string to his toe, and when Dad wanted anything, he would jerk on the string, and he didn't have to hear. It's a good example of getting old and our bodies decaying and losing the ability to hear. And so we take vitamins and we exercise and we try to eat right. We use makeup and stuff that makes us smell good, and we wear nice clothes. And by the way, I'm for all of that. I think we should do all of it. But I'm going to tell you, all those things that we do won't change the fact that our bodies are decaying. And again, God is not in the business of fixing up our bodies. God is in the business of giving us new ones. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile bodies? Talking about what God's going to do. Who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Again, he's not in the fixing up business. He's not going to fix up the earth. He's not going to fix up our bodies. He will make a new earth. He will give us a new body. He will, number three, and this is not my points, this is just my introduction, but he will, number three, give us a new name. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, and I will write upon him my new name. The name that we have has a past associated with it. The name that we have has a history associated with it. And when God takes us to heaven, he will give us a new name that has no past, that has no sin, that has no history attached to it. We sing that song. There's a new name written down in glory. and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. The white robe angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. And when we get home, well, we're going to have a new place to live with a new body and a new name and a new song to sing. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, and they sang a new song. In Revelation 14, verse 3, and they sang, as it were, a new song. It'll be a new song that will be sung in heaven. I think there's some there singing it now. But when heaven was first created, there was nobody in heaven that could sing this song. Because you see, the angels could not sing this song. It's only a song that the saints can sing. When we get to heaven, we'll sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. So we'll get a new place to live with a new body, with a new name, with a new song. And while we are waiting on this earth for all of that to happen, God will give us a new work to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know, since you become a Christian, you have a new purpose in life? Do you know, since you become a Christian, you have been ordained by God to do the work that he created for you to do? You see, I don't believe that any person is born by accident. I don't believe that any person is an uh-oh kind of baby. I've heard parents say, well, this is our accident. This is our uh-oh baby. I want you to know tonight, there are no accidents. There are no uh-ohs with God. Again, I was reminded as I studied the Sunday school lesson this week and heard Brother Leonard teach part of it this morning. God prepared for you. He prepared you for the work that he wants you to do way back in your lineage with your great-grandparents and your grandparents and your parents. Hundreds of years before you were born, he was setting the stage to make you what you are so you could do the work that he wants you to do. I mean, you're not born and God says, well, I got to find something for them to do. You're not born and God's surprised and say, oh, there's a new little baby born. I better get a plan together for his life. Before the foundation of the world, just think about this. Before God laid the foundation of the world, he knew you were going to be born and he had a plan for your life. And he started working that plan in your great-grandparents and probably back further than that, and your grandparents and your mom and dad and where you live, where you were born, the whole thing. God worked it to give you in your life, to prepare you in your life to do what he's called you to do, what he ordained you to do. And so when we get saved, we have a new work to do. We may do some of the same things that we did before we got saved, but we do it with a new purpose. I mean, there are some good things that lost people, that sinners do. But when they get saved, they do it with a new purpose. And so we have a new work. Now, that's my introduction. Here's my message. It'll probably take me a little bit longer than 5 minutes. I probably falsely advertised when I said that. But it'll be a lot shorter than my introduction. Because, again, God is not in the making over business. He is in the making new business. And so when we get saved, he makes us into a new man, a new person. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is received in knowledge after the image of him that created us. Again, God is not in the business of fixing up the old man. He is in the business of making us new as he makes all things new. And he makes us into a righteous, holy person in the image of his son. And we say, when we look in the mirror, well, where is that new man? Where is that new person? When I look in the mirror, I see the same old man that I have seen all my life. And we say that. Where's the new man? I see the same old man. This same old man seems to have control of what goes on. Even the Apostle Paul wrote about it. He says, I know what I should do, but those things I know that I should do, I don't do. And those things I know not to do, those are the things I do. And so we ask the question, well, where is this new man? Where is this new man that God created? Now again, I only got one point. Here's my point. Listen, the new man won't emerge until we let the old man die. The new man won't emerge, won't come out until we let the old man die. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, verily, verily, remember what I said this morning? When a verse in the Bible starts with the words verily, verily, God's getting ready to say something important, we need to set up and pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If it doesn't die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I've seen these people that take apples and they shellac them. They put shellac on the apples. And they make a basket of apples that last a long time because the shellac keeps the rotting process from happening. But that apple will never reproduce. Because for the apple to reproduce, the seed's got to get out. I mean, somebody's got to eat it and spit out the seed or gather the seed and plant it. Or the apple's got to fall to the ground and rot so this and die, so to speak, so the seed can get out. And it's the same thing with the new man that God has created in us when we got saved. We got to let the old man go. We got to let the old man die. In order for the new man to come out, we've got to let the old one pass away. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. I want the old man. And he struggled with the old man just like we did. Again, he wrote over there in the book of Romans, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do those things. I know what I'm not supposed to do. Those are the things that I do. And Paul says, I buffet my body daily. That was a Freudian slip if you missed it. Not buffet, buffet. I buffet my body daily. I want it to die daily because I want the new man to emerge. I want to crucify the old man so the new man can take precedence, can come out and live. And that's why God, Becky, your testimony was a good example of it tonight. That's why God lets things come into our life sometimes to get our attention, the trials that come into our life, the heartaches that come into our life, because he's saying, let go of the old man. Let him die. I've created a new man within you. All things became new. What we want to do is keep the old man. We don't want to let him go. We want to preserve it and protect it. And until that old man dies, the new man can't come on the scene. That's my point. Let the old guy go. Now, I'm not talking to wives. I'm talking to everybody. Let the old man go. Let him die. You have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Let go of the old man. Put him in the grave. let him die. Now, again, I know I'm emphasizing the point. I know he never goes away. I know that old man's going to be with us until we go to heaven. But the more we put him aside, the more we let him die, the more the new man can come forth, the more the new man can operate, the more the new man can direct us and tell us what we need to do. So, let the old man die. You have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You have been given a new work to do. And one of these days, we're going to go to a new place to live and get a new body and a new name and sing a new song and dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. And it all starts with a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, again, a verse that starts with the words, verily, 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 I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked, like many people do today, well, how can that be? How can a man enter again into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, are you a master of the Jews and you don't understand this? You hear the wind. You can't explain where it comes from. And then he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how it's done, Nicodemus. That's how you're born again. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you, and he'll do it. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, you can't have any of this stuff, the new stuff that I'm talking about, until you experience the new birth. And you do that by coming to Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the new things that we have to look forward to. But Father, more than that, thank you for the new things that we can enjoy right now. And I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would come like Nicodemus did with questions, but they would listen to the answers of the Savior and they would come and believe on him. I pray for the many Christians that are here tonight. Help us to let go of the old man. Help us to plant that corn of wheat in the ground and let it die. It's only then that will bring forth much fruit. Help us to do that tonight. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.